as I was just telling her, it's all about the angle. This is the Mia show, so we got to make sure. And she's got a story highlight on her Instagram that's Mamma Mia. Yeah. So we got to make sure.
See, you know.
Is that Italian Heritage, actually?
No, that's just my favorite movie.
Okay. I have not seen Mamma Mia. I have to see it at some point. Oh, there are a lot of movies I've been catching up on.
This is now the Us show. You're officially exiled.
I will say big Mamma Mia lover, but also super pretentious about ABBA lover first.
Okay, valid. Very no, I can let that slide.
They did it best.
That's fine.
Well, apparently I'm off the show. Good night, everybody. Let's get out of here. Once again from Reese Pfeiffer Hall in Tuscaloosa, it's another exciting edition of the Alabama Frozen Hour, and once again, a great guest lined up. We get to talk about communication, as we call it. What a wonderful phrase, and no, that's not Hakuna Matata, but it's similar to that. We get to talk with the director of communications for the women's hockey team. Kate and I are getting to have our usual banter about the recapping the first ever Iron Cup for the women's edition, and then we've got an odd topic that is probably going to be a barn burner based on the discussions we had beforehand. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson. It's Kate Aitchison, not Aitchison. We learned that from last time. And joined by our wonderful guest, Mia Perez, proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Both Preston and Hannah are out this week, wishing them all the best as they prepare for their respective exams and other issues they've got going on, but still going to be a lively discussion no matter what happens. So, as mentioned, we got the director of communications for the women's hockey team and Mia Perez joining us today. Very interesting journey that we'll get into for her to get into the sport realm in that regard, and all of that through just a short amount of time in college too, because now sophomore year this year, right?
Correct, yes.
So, very short turnaround in terms of changing majors and that kind of stuff, and we'll get right into it. But first and foremost, we appreciate you carving out the time on the chaos of your schedule, because we know you got a lot of things you do behind the scenes. To the point where we had to create our own Instagram, because that's how stressful it gets for Mia and company. But again, appreciate you taking the time and looking forward to the conversation.
No, yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. So we'll start out with this, and I always like to quote Ian Eagle, a colleague in the sports media realm, told me that you could talk to 100 different broadcasters, and in this case, sports media professionals, about their journey and how they've gotten to where they are today, and you would get 100 different answers. And as we alluded to, very much a different answer from 99 other people we would ask about their journeys in your case. But what has the journey been like for Mia Perez from the moment you knew what it was you wanted to do to now leading the women's hockey team in the city where legends are made?
Yeah, so truthfully, I at first when I applied to Alabama was a marketing major. And the more I learned more about it, I was like, God, this is just not what I want to do. And I had a friend, my roommate from last year, was like, oh, I'm majoring in public relations. Like, it's super cool. Like, told me all about it. And I was like, yeah, and I'm a spontaneous girl. So I changed my major on the spot, not even fully knowing what I was doing. Exactly. Yeah. And I just came here, joined Capstone Agency. And in Capstone Agency, I was actually Savannah, our general manager's account executive. So I was like her boss.
Oh, nice.
And she was always raving about working with the men's hockey team and how much she loved it, the environment, the work that she was doing. And I was like, I'm down. Like, where do I sign up? And she was like, no, I'm working for the women's team now, but like, come do the women's. And I was like, again, I'm spontaneous, if you say so. And I applied and I got it, and now we're here.
How many times have you changed your major?
You know, I have never officially changed my major.
Really?
Okay.
I was going to get into it because you remind me a lot of my journey. And like you said, many different journeys, but also everyone getting to a similar place in this very small concentration, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I touched on this last time, but the only time I changed my major was I graduated high school with my associate's degree in pre-med.
Mm.
So I was going to be like the whole shebang doctor type thing. And I kind of had the same, I've been working in the hospital, and it's not, I was going to college, same thing people do, where I was like, you know, I don't really like this. Like, it's cool, I like parts of it, but I'm burnt out. So I switched up my major, switched to Alabama, and kind of went full force in the sports thing. But then similarly, I went with the idea I wanted to do all like on-air broadcast sportscaster type thing. And the more you go throughout this education, this career, you find so many different things to do that you had no idea existed.
Exactly.
And so I'm sure the women's hockey team, like, being spontaneous and getting involved, I'm sure you've had so many different, like, opportunities and seen things that I would assume probably have guided your career aspirations a little bit differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I keep joking with my friends. I recently had my early life crisis where I'm like, now I don't know, do I want to do like PR and agency or like I'm loving the sports life?
We're 20 and we're like,
yeah.
Very real.
See, I always tell people it's okay to not know what it is you want to do early on, and it's okay if you change your majors a couple of times. Maybe once you get towards that sophomore, junior year, you need to choose something because of the course starts and everything. But I do want to touch on, I like the idea of Dr. Acheson. Like, that name sounds pretty good.
That's what I thought.
And certainly with your humor style, the funny bone would be a huge problem for everybody coming in and being treated in whichever medical facility you would end up being.
Can't take anything seriously.
But yeah, Dr. Acheson, just imagine someone walks in and be like, your lab results came back bad.
No, but I see you doing that. So.
Just walking and be like, bad news, like, you're down, I'm up. So.
Was it ever a weird dynamic swapping from you being Savannah's boss to her swapping to being your boss? Because I know sometimes it can be a little iffy depending on management styles and things along those lines, but at least from what I can surmise from you and Savannah's interactions, there's no problems, like no animosity, everything just clicks. But was it ever weird in the beginning?
I don't think so at all. I mean, even last year when we were on the same client team, like, we ended up becoming really good friends just because we were involved in so many similar things and so many similar interests. And I think doing that transition, I honestly loved it because I'm a sophomore, she's a senior. Mm-hmm. So the tables were almost turned where I now got to learn from her,
mm-hmm.
Especially with her working in sports. I mean, she just finished a summer internship with the Oilers. Yeah. Like, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if there's someone that knows what she's doing, it's her. So I think being able to now learn from her and also grow alongside her with the program is super special, and I've loved it.
No, I think that's great, and I think that's really apparent in the vibes of all of the management and the team and just everybody who works together. We've talked about it before, this, you can see the pure friendship and love that goes into all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that you can tell there's not a lot of vibes of a hierarchy in any way. It's everyone learning from each other, working together, and being friends. And that's a really cool dynamic.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I have been blessed with such a good department that every single one of the interns, they learn from me, I learn from them, and we're a team. Like, we love hanging out together, talking to each other at the games, whether it's we're working or we're just hanging out, sitting there waiting for a game to start.
Absolutely.
We have too much fun up in that program. It's just every time they're walking past, there's like that, almost like a gym looking at the camera in the office. It's like, it was like when I remember during the High Point series. I can't remember if it was either you two, but the goal scorer, High Point starts coming back. Someone looked over. Like, I know those who are listening to the podcast have no clue, but imagine if you Google search Jim Halpert, The Office, and you know exactly what it is.
And I know who it was. It was Annie.
It was Annie. Yeah.
Exactly who it was. No, we do have the most fun, and that's kind of what I was talking about, is whether, like, these girls that know each other are best friends or people that are just working all over this team is just so truly having fun, learning, and just having a good time. And I know me even, like, I'm behind the camera a lot of the time, and my biggest lines are like, where the heck is the puck? Where's the puck? Like, behind the camera trying to figure it out while they're broadcasting, and we're all laughing at each other. And then me and Mia are like screaming at the game as I'm trying to steady the camera. I'm like, yeah! And we're all just bouncing around. It's honestly just the best time ever.
It really is.
Yeah, Jaden is our calming force today behind the scenes, but he's also the calming guy in the broadcast booth. Because I was talking to Preston about this on the last episode, where you have to, in the play-by-play side, you have to have a command and a sort of calmness. You can get excited, but you have to be steady with it. But, like, I look over at Preston, and he's just this whole, yeah, yes! He's either that, or he's, like, rubbing the lucky puck or something like that. Which we don't have it here today, since Preston's not here. I was the keeper of the lucky puck the last couple of podcasts, but hopefully that doesn't deter anything. I feel like we're already up to a great start on this, but hopefully the lucky puck being gone doesn't make any difference in that regard. But maybe it'll take a turn for the worse on this one. So, as you know, because you listen to the podcast with Kira, we did a dive on people's LinkedIn and social media to try to do some things. And we were talking about this. Shout out to one of my favorite television shows, Bar Rescue. Fantastic.
I was just watching that before I came here.
She has the same name as Mia Mastroianni, one of the experts.
I love that show.
She was telling me that she is not skilled as a cocktail crafter, doesn't know as much about the alcohol side, but as a coffee maker, you were mentioning you go back home and you work as a regular barista during the summer and everything. Again, very 180 from the sports side.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you work on public relations a little bit when somebody says they ordered extra foam and not light foam. But it's certainly with the internships and the different paths we take, it prepares you in certain ways for where you are today. So on the barista side, what lesson would you say you took the most from that position that's prepared you for the director of communication side?
I think remaining calm under pressure, or when I'm busy scrambling, feel like I'm doing 17 things at once.
Yeah.
So where I work at home, it's really similar to like a Seven Brewer, like Dutch Bros vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to still have that energy and that excitedness to do my job while I'm like sweating in 105 degree weather outside and making drinks.
They make you drinks outside?
We take the orders outside, but we rotate.
I've always said, I'll work any fast food job, but I will not stand outside and take orders.
No, but I do. I do.
Imagine Kate at the Chick-fil-A drive. Like with the tablets and everything. You just say,
no, I would be so rude. Like, I have great customer service skills, but I just cannot get my face is very expressive. I can't control my face.
Totally.
But what was your order at that place?
Okay, so this is my hot take, and everyone yells at me, even customers would, because I worked at a coffee place.
Prepare the vocal cords.
Yeah. I worked at a coffee place, but I'm not the biggest coffee fan.
It's okay.
So, okay, see, I had a customer one time literally tell me, then why do you work here? And I was like, because I can make it. I won't drink it, but I can make it.
I'm from Utah, so a lot of people don't drink coffee in Utah. And so I have a lot of people that like would work and not drink it. So you're good.
Okay, so then I take that.
Which is probably a better thing that you don't have a dependency on coffee or caffeine
at
this point.
I feel like that's a good thing, but that's just my...
There's a couple of mornings where I have the little Starbucks espresso and cream.
Uh-huh.
10-ounce cans that help me pump through the morning.
Also, just drinking right before
there you go.
Sometimes it's a Red Bull, but I've tried to wean off of those because I care about my kidneys. But it's there are some lattes that are good, like the flavored latte side and everything. But I was talking about this earlier with my dad being military for 24 years. Mm-hmm. I'm used to drinking dirt, as it's called, of like the no cream, no sugar, anything, but I got to have some half and half in it at some point. Like, I'm not just going
to
drink the coffee straight.
Yeah, and it has to be a really good cup of coffee.
Part of that as well, not just on the barista side, one thing that piqued my interest from your experience, because I grew up south of Nashville, and you interned for a bit with the Country Music Association. Have that on your resume, which I know we're in the south, and there's not as much yee-haws down here. Their replacement is Roll Tide Roll in that regard. But Country Music Association, how did that prepare you for today?
I think being willing to learn in an environment that you're not used to or almost an experience. So I was a temporary media staff position for them for the Country Music Awards.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Probably best day of my life. I went in pretty much blind, like literally not knowing what I was doing. But I'm a big believer in you lose every opportunity that you don't take advantage of or you don't try for. So I went, did it, loved it. My boss for the day, Kennedy Strickler, she was amazing. I still talk to her frequently now. I think just definitely being able to learn and being open to not knowing what you're doing, but figuring it out.
You ever been to the CMA Fest?
I have not, but I've had close people that have been and heard right about it.
I've been maybe once or twice, like in my younger years, and that would very much be up your alley.
I went to Country Thunder.
I love any music festival, love country music, love it all. I love to hear it. I also love just this attitude that keeps coming out when you're talking about your life of, you know, take all the opportunities and learn on the spot and this and that. I think that's fantastic. How do you keep that kind of positive, ambitious energy when you're struggling, whether you're struggling in college, like mentally or physically, you have a lot going on or whatever. Like, how do you push through with that mindset?
Honestly, I think what's inspired me to be that way is both my parents. They both are probably the hardest working people I've ever met. And I mean, I think just nature versus nurture, I had a little bit of both of it. I grew up in a great home with great parents. And I think just watching them work that hard and always continuing. Obviously, I think my work has somewhat paid off. So I think that's a good reminder. But definitely, yeah, just thinking about them and where they came from.
Oh, yeah. And still paying off, too, because you still got plenty of time to reap the rewards of your experiences. And we were talking about this earlier. Shout out to Tony Ribaldo, one of my colleagues in the PhD program, because you're involved in industry immersion.
I am,
and
yes.
Especially, you know, seeing it from the outside, I haven't actually, other than hearing the stories from Tony and hearing a little bit from you and from some other students in that regard, it's a great opportunity that CNIS offers for students to actually go out into the field, go to these experiences, whether it's for a week or a weekend in different cities, mm-hmm. Because certainly we have a plethora of opportunities in Tuscaloosa, but it makes way more sense in benefiting people's careers to increase your portfolio and increase that exposure in that regard. So
absolutely.
On the industry immersion side, you got any favorite stories with Tony from the times you've worked with her?
So I actually have not gone on a trip with her. She went to LA last year, and I did not go on that trip. But I am convincing her to try going on our Chicago one this spring, which I'll be on. So maybe I'll come back and let you guys know how that one goes. I think I'm going to get her on, but so far we're working on it.
When is that trip?
That's actually the day after finals, I believe, in the spring.
Oh,
so yeah, that'll be a far away episode, but we'll definitely come back and chat about it.
Turnaround too.
Yeah.
Especially to go through exams or however many exams you have to take and then boarding on a plane to Chicago and everything. But still with the industry immersion side, is there an experience you would say through that that has been most fulfilling for you?
I think when I went to Nashville last year, so being from South Florida, I always knew I wanted to go up north and go into the South, which sounds odd, but I knew I wanted to be in the South, but I didn't know where. And I love that going with industry immersion, I was able to explore different cities, but as well as different career paths. And I think going there, I really loved that I was able to figure out, did I want something in-house? Did I want to work at an agency? Within an agency, what role did I want to take on? Did I want to be an AE, strategist, copy, et cetera? So I think just being able to learn a little bit more about myself and my intentions with my career, because I very much am type A, so I'm a planner. Yeah. I may have been a freshman, but I want to know 4 years from now, what am I doing?
Sure.
Yeah, and I love that that gave me the opportunity to kind of help narrow down the path I wanted to take.
I love that. Do you have any specific examples of things you saw or that you like, yes or no, that like pulled your path into the right direction?
So one of the places we did see was Country Music Association. We went to them, and I mean, I love them. I love them as an organization and association. I love all the employees that work there. I think it was great. But then even going to the agency side of things, I loved that when I was there, I was so afraid being in Capstone Agency, being an account executive, that I was going to go into the real world and be like, oh, I don't like it. But going, I realized I did love it, and that was what I wanted to do. So those who are where I'm at right now are, as of lately, sports, so I'm everywhere.
And I feel you so heavily, and I mean, I'm the most type B ever, but I think a lot of people, especially young women that are young, ambitious women, I can relate to on that, because you're young and having everything figured out, and also, yeah, how old are you?
I just turned 20 on Monday.
I was going to mention it. I was waiting for the right time on that stuff, but happy 20th birthday.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I just turned 20 like just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And we're both people who want to have it all figured out now. I know I struggle with finding the balance of looking ahead and being ambitious and doing more than other people, but also not burning myself out mm-hmm. and not getting too stressed about things I can't control and not having to have it figured out and being young. Where do you look, how do you feel you lean? Where do you look for the balance of that kind of thing?
I think it's definitely having an amazing team. Like I had said before, I mean, every single intern in the communications department, they want to be there. They want to do the work. So not feeling like I have to have all of that heavy weight on me or the weight of the world on my shoulders, but also just having great leaders above me. Like, I mean, Savannah, she is amazing about helping out where she can. But also just being a friend and not only a boss. And I think that makes a huge difference in it.
Yeah, that culture certainly starts from the top. And we talked about this whole idea of it's just there's a lot of fun being had on the staff. Mm-hmm. And it transcends down to the team as well. You're seeing it on the ice with some. I talked to Kira after the Auburn game because the amount of times when music's playing and she and the rest of the players are dancing on the ice. I said we got to have a player dancing competition.
Like, oh,
we
got to
have some. We got to have some sort of like. Now, not staff. You don't want me dancing, but we need.
I do want you dancing.
No.
Yeah, I would love to. I would pay to see that. Now you're being roped into a TikTok.
Dancing right here as soon as we're done filming.
First, they want me to ice skate when that's going to induce CTE because the amount of times I'm going to fall over. And now they want me to dance. What, am I going to karaoke night next? Is that, I guess I'm
going
to
do
both. Yes.
Oh, wait, that's right.
Me and our friend Will already have plans to get Spencer.
Shout out to Will Morrow.
Shout out to Will
Morrow.
He's
going to
love that.
What was the, I'm trying to remember. Either you watched Codename Kids Next Door growing up.
Let's see. I did not.
Okay, there's a. There's a moment where one of the characters in the show, it's Wallaby. He's from Australia, and an episode starts out, it's pitch black, and you just hear him go, "How do I get myself into these messes?" Same thing here. How do I keep getting myself into these messes?
Spencer is, he always has the perfect niche reference. Yes. On top pool. He is always perfect. He's like, "Have you heard this?" And explains it, and it's always perfect. But I was like, "What?"
Yeah, it's just it's out of pocket. It's this is the problem again, because you guys were saying that, you know, 20 and 21. I'm 25. So, so like, I've got some of those that have synced in terms of references in that regard. But fortunately, we all know SpongeBob, so that at least helps in that.
I wasn't allowed
to watch SpongeBob.
I went back. I went back after a couple years, and I watched it. I am comforted by the fact that nursing homes are going to be people who are making quotes of SpongeBob.
That is going to be fun.
Let's talk specifically about your experience with the team, Mia. Mm-hmm. And you already detailed of how Capstone Agency turned into where Savannah said, "Let's get you on. I want to work with you. You want to be on the staff and everything." But I know it certainly was not. It didn't start out the way you may have wanted to, with transitions of executive leadership and having to be thrown into the leadership role. So I'm interested to know, when that transition happened and when you were given the nod to handle the social media side and essentially now be a leader in your sophomore year, how did you process that and get to where you are now?
Truthfully, it was game time mode. Like, it just kind of, a switch turned on and it was go from there. It was 2 days before, or no, the day before, excuse me, our media day.
Yeah.
So I didn't have time to sit there and think and process. It was make it happen. Exactly. And it definitely wasn't perfect. Like, there's always going to be some kinks in the road. But it was really just do what I can with it and go up from there. And that's the mindset that I had with it and still do.
I had a little more notice from Savannah on that one. I think I told this on like the first show, but it was, I'd given like a couple ideas for media side of things or whatever. And I get, you know, the usual text from Savannah where she goes, "Hi," like, doesn't say anything, just says, "Hi." And I go, "Hi." She says, "I have a proposal." I go, "I'm too young for that." And then she starts laughing and she goes, how'd you like to be assistant director of media? I'm like, "All right, that's totally fun." So that was back in like the summer, so I had a little more notice than you did, but it was still one of those of like, "All right, it's game time. Let's coordinate this. Let's get on these things and situate in that regard."
Yeah.
Yours was kind of game time mode too.
I had the same notice. It was like, I think 2-3 days before, and I was like, "Word, let's operate a camera."
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Yeah, it happens spontaneously like that. I mean, we're in our industry, as you two have already learned, we're very spontaneous. There's a lot of stuff you have to work on the fly, and that's certainly what we have done with this year.
Opportunities come and you don't say no.
Exactly.
You always say yes as much as you can in that regard. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes wise, I know Media Day was a lot of fun, especially seeing all the photos. Like the collage wall with all the TikToks and everything. And I know Morgan's TikTok for the dip meme went viral. Is that really fulfilling for you when those TikToks go viral and you continue to build success on the social media side?
I think so. I mean, seeing our socials grow so much over the past about month or so, I would say, has been amazing. I mean, even our Instagram, we grew over 2,000 followers in less than 2 weeks. So I think seeing that and seeing how excited the team gets, the department, and even the girls, like, just being like, "Oh my God, our TikTok went viral." Just seeing everyone's excitement with it, I think, is what really makes it worth it at the end of the day, that hard work pays off.
I think excitement, a lot of it stems from a bunch of female athletes that are getting the eyes on them that they deserve. And you guys make that happen by being creative and making good content.
Absolutely, yeah. And even one of the girls from last year, I want to say, I was talking to Kira about it. She was like, coming from last year to them starting the team, just doing it for fun, to having a whole staff of interns.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, has been night and day, and just seeing it grow like overnight. She was like, we would not have been able to do this without you guys. And it really goes to show how appreciative the team is of the staff as well.
Oh, and it was like when Morgan and Savannah were on one of the hockey podcasts early in the season, and there were questions of how what would you say to starting a team? And Morgan's saying, you just do it, because you don't know initially. You can have these doubts of like, do we have enough people interested? Are there going to be enough people on board with this? And not just with a team, but even with an organization on campus. Because, I mean, the same thing could be said. I know it's been a while since Girls Club Alabama was started, but same sentiment with them of let's just start this. Let's get this going. Because easiest part is starting an organization, but keeping it running and keeping it as a well-oiled machine is the challenge. But seems like on the communication side, you guys have some challenges, but not that much to worry about.
Yeah, so far we're doing good. And I mean, I totally agree. It was more of a, once you start it, you can't stop, and you got to keep going, and you're going to figure it out each day, in and out, how we're going to make it happen. And we do.
Yeah, we need to get the TikTok team to talk with you, because I know you have a little bit of expertise on the TikTok side of things. So maybe we do some like behind the scenes stuff on like the camera side. Maybe we play the dip music while you're shaking the camera. Well, more so, a lot of the time she gets shaky with the camera because of how intense the action gets. Like that iPoint series, she's kind of freaking out. She's like, I gotta keep it steady,
it gets so hype, and I think that would be fun. I was going to say, I wouldn't say expertise. I am trying so hard not to be, but lacking in the social media area. I do not like doing it. I'm not great at it, but I do have some experience, and probably my most experience that could be so much fun is I've done some projects of working on videos and editing and like filming more behind the scenes to show that part and gain some sort of traction.
Yeah.
To get like my name out there, other people's names out there. I've worked on things like that. And so showing behind the scenes of like the hockey team, but also like what the team does behind the scene, what the like people that work do behind the scene, and like expanding in that. I do have experience making those kind of TikToks, which are always fun.
Oh yeah. We need to, well, we just have this whole melting pot of like TikTok ideas.
And yeah, we'll talk later. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
My wheels are turning.
No, I can do that.
So certainly we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Auburn series this past weekend. We were talking about the Iron Cup last week and the previews heading into it. And I'll start with you on this, Kate. You know, going into these series, we talked about how you just never know when there's a matchup between Alabama and Auburn. Doesn't matter what sport it is. Doesn't matter what the records are. Could even be football at the end of the year, and somehow something plays out in that regard.
No, it's the phenomenon of the rivals, especially the Alabama-Auburn rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly, I was gonna, like, where you were going is you never know going in any sport. There's so much nuance in how the team plays and what's going on and what's going on behind the scenes. So we didn't know, and all I have to say about it is roll tie, because we killed it. Those Tigers got beat again, per usual, and I was so happy to watch it.
Yeah, that first game, box score 2-0 at the end of the first, 3-1 in favor of the Crimson Tide at the end of the second, and then 2-0 at the end of the third. And, shout out to first ever goal in the Iron Cup history to Samantha Lance, unassisted on that.
And I got a great shot of that. That was one time I didn't
mess up. Very proud.
Oh, yeah. And from your perspective, too, because sometimes you're up in the press box with us, sometimes they put you down on the penalty side. I think you were up on Media Row with us for that Friday
game. Correct, for that Friday game, yes.
Mistaken. So when you're seeing that, especially thinking about you're coordinating different members for going down on social media and side, but how much leeway do you give yourself to freak out in celebration during those moments?
I get approximately 10 seconds, and then I'm running around the ring trying to get an SD card to upload. I give 10 seconds, and I'm screaming, I'm jumping, and then I'm running in heels. So that's how it normally is.
So relevant.
In heels.
You would be so impressed, anyone who could see behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a lot of ladies on the team. It's a lot of ladies. No, we are always dressed to the nines, the men too. And the ladies, we are all, I don't know why we all do this, but we all wear our little stilettos and our little platforms. Like, we always look so good, and we are so good at sprinting in heels.
Oh, yeah.
I operate on my box in heels, and that's probably the most impressive thing that we do.
I run around that rank of them.
Like, sprint.
No. Exactly.
I could never wear heels. You're not challenging me to that. That is not happening.
Wait,
no. That is not happening.
Oh, that's a great idea.
goodness.
The issue is you say it.
How do I get myself into these messes? You
say that. You need to especially
because the arena is a bit noisy because they're not carpet floors. You can hear when me is running. You can hear when anyone's clicking across the way. Thinking you're gonna click three times. No place like home.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, we gotta get socials up. So cover your ears.
Here's another TikTok or social media idea: is when you see a goal and you give yourself 10 seconds to celebrate, show it with Mia running down in heels.
No, literally,
that needs to be on
the
social media.
You should make a TikTok and it's just clips of all of the ladies working heels and like me on the box and like you running around and like standing on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And like everybody.
No, we need to.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I think so.
So Lance as well, first goal for the Iron Cup series at all. She had a hat trick in that game, if you didn't know that. Scored in every period.
On fire. Yeah. Ridiculous performance.
Our rookies are amazing. Amazing.
Well, let me correct myself here. She had a hat trick of three times being on the play-by-play sheet. Two goals, and then she got the last penalty of the game for tripping. So she had two goals. She managed to get on the board at least, and then she had to go into the box in that regard. But Zahorchak with a goal. Rachel Guarino scored for Auburn within the first 22 seconds of the second period, and that's where Alabama started taking it up a notch. And then the penalties started raining down, where you could hear from the first game we were up in the main arena. You're up on the press perch. You could hear the frustration from the coaching staff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are a couple of penalties on there. And look, again, I try not to bash the officials. It's a hard job. They have a lot of challenges on that. There are a couple ones that you could call one way or another. I remember there was one where two players around neutral ice, they hook each other.
Yeah.
Both of them fall to the ground, and there's no call.
And
I'm like, so you got to call something at that point.
No, yeah, even the calls give them even more. This is absolutely just a more physical game, and that absolutely goes right back to that rivalry.
For sure.
More physical, higher penalty, rated game.
Oh, yeah. Trinity Alexander also had a goal on there. Claire Carson with a couple of goals throughout the game. Sabre scored on that one as well. Seven to one, a great way to start out the Iron Cup.
Absolutely, for sure.
And then the second game, we got relegated to the practice rink for the first time, even though we were told we were going to be on the main rink, and they sent us there for, what was it, 14-year-old ice league, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that. So they relegated us. We got our stuff set up, and we had to go down that way. But didn't faze the Crimson Tide, didn't faze the team in any way. I mean, coaching staff, again, upset at some calls that were not made, but first shutout in Alabama women's hockey history. 8-0.
So, there she goes.
3-0 into the first, 4-0 into the second, a 1-0 score at the end of the third. And I never got an update on this, but they did have a goaltending change for Auburn, because their main goaltender, I think it was a couple minutes in, she had her mask off and had to go to the locker room, and so I hate to see that certainly. And they brought in, but their main goaltender Zumba, impressive to watch.
Absolutely,
like, especially with thinking about not playing in the second game and having to go into that mindset and be prepared. To the fact that, yes, sure, box score 8-0 does not look good, but when you look at the amount of saves she was making,
no,
we don't keep saves on the stat sheet, but
it's nuanced and understanding the game, and so people can play it better, so that's not what happened.
Oh yeah. But at least on the Alabama side of things, again, you have no penalties for Auburn in this series, which is a little bit of a shock to me, especially with how you mentioned how physical it was. It was a good start to the Iron Cup rivalry. Second game, Sabre had a goal with several players' assists. You had Rory Clark got a double minor for tripping and unsportsmanlike conduct.
She
had three penalties in the same period. It was double minor for tripping and holding, and then a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct later on.
Rory had a game.
She commented on social media saying it's Rory was scaring me in the box. Was getting scared.
Rory was like, Sav was in the penalty box, and I was behind because again I was doing my usual running around to get SD cards, and I was like, I'm taking a walk now. And that was a really great time to get an SD card.
Oh, shout out to Roy Clark on making us laugh but also scaring us.
Oh, for sure.
Kira Duffany also got a goal on the on the game. You also had Lance had a couple. I think, did Lance actually?
Lance had two, I believe.
She had two. She did not have a hat trick in this one. A lot of the hat tricks happened in the Georgia series, and I think there was maybe one in the South Carolina series. Let's see. Emily Scott got on the board, so yeah, she got good, especially on assist. It amazes me how many of these are unassisted, but even when you have goals that have two, three players involved, like Kira's goal was credited and assist to both Scott and Sineski got on the points board. I know they've been passing the puck a ton to Freya and trying to get her first goal. Same with Rory Clark, and they were trying to finally get both of them to get on the score sheet, but not quite yet. They're still searching for
it. We're getting there,
though. To get there at least. And then it was rounded off, the final goal scored by Grzybowski with about 8 minutes left to go in that second game. But, you know, roll tide, roll.
I think exactly. It went keep it going.
Those couple of series. But, it's a great show now by Auburn, too. I think we had a good mixture of fans that were
absolutely
in attendance at the Pelham Arena, which shows, again, I mean, it's not that far of a drive as compared to, say, Georgia or when eventually South Carolina is going to come out to us. But some of the fans traveled pretty well. Like, even in South Carolina, we had a lot of people that were showing up to our
home. We did, yeah.
It was a good amount of fans that came out, so it kind of helped with the crowd noise a little bit in terms of the split and such. But that's your recap on the Auburn series. So now Alabama resting the rest of their season. Leaves now 5-1 on their record. So only loss was that early riser in South Carolina. And we talked about this last week about they added the Columbus Classic to the schedule with that tournament being rescheduled. You said you're traveling on the road for that one. How excited are you to go out to Columbus in a couple weeks?
I'm super excited. I mean, I love being with the team. It's so much more than just like getting close with the staff. It's also the girls. They're amazing. They love the communication side and all the socials that we do. And they're a time and a half, so I'm excited to travel with them again.
How many TikTok rejections do you get a week from the girls?
Honestly, no, like, I have not had a TikTok yet where they're like, yeah, Mia, we're not doing that. Like, they are
there all ideas they give you that you
actually
tell them?
Yeah, like some of them, the one that Morgan did, we downloaded hers, took off the TikTok watermark, reposted it. Like, they love doing them. Even me today, half of them, they were like disappearing, and I'm calling them like, where are you, because you need a picture, and they're making a TikTok in the corner. It is, that's literally half of my job.
Oh yeah, that's fun. All right, we've got our odd topic that we're ready to discuss on here, and we already started having a heated debate before we got on camera for this kind of thing. We were originally going to go favorite Christmas movies, but we're not to Christmas yet. This is essentially a week before Halloween when this episode publishes, and we're not quite to Halloween, so we are going to talk. Well, we'll have some sort of favorite odd topic next week for the Halloween episode, but we have to ask. The favorite Halloween movies, and you can see the look on her face. She has got a whole rant that she has loaded up that she's about to give. So I think I'm just going to let her
take it away.
Is it
their
Halloween movie or their holiday?
Holiday.
Okay, I was in touch with that. What I was going to say wasn't even a whole rant. It was what we were talking about before is Mia's a huge Christmas lover, and my hot take, it's not even a take, it's just my hot opinion that I hold is I'm a Christmas hater. I don't.
I can't.
She kept getting lumps of coal. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never well behaved enough.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to like even like get it's a boring rant. It has to do with like over consumerism. Like nothing that interesting, but like I also just like stressful times. Not like don't love the whole gifted. Anyway, don't like whatever. But when we're talking about the Hallmark movie, my answer is the one thing I love about the Christmas season is Hallmark movies. Any Hallmark it doesn't matter. I love well-done movies and like to have thought and everything, and that is my one little brain rot is I will watch a Hallmark movie.
If I can predict how it ends, I love it.
No, yeah, like it's very just so real, it's just brain candy.
Yes.
Because I was gonna say Hallmark is the same formula.
That's the good thing. It's like comforting. When I don't want to think, I don't want to feel,
like
I just put it off.
It's like reading your favorite book. You're like watching your comfort movie. It's like you can watch a comfort movie that you know exactly what's going to happen, but you haven't seen this version.
Yes, there's like 1,000 variations.
Yeah, like,
it's perfect.
Such a cheesy Hallmark answer. Quite literally just the...
Oh,
no, but that's the best answer, which is very odd considering you don't like...
That's where I got my evil little grin. I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to say because that is the one thing I will give. I love that. I like Christmas lights and I like Hallmark movies and that is the end.
I'll let you have your hot take on that, Mia.
Okay, Okay, so I have the complete opposite. For me, Christmas starts like October 1st.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, no, I'm insane. I do love the fall, the cozy vibe, but I'm Christmas all the
you're
way. Like
seasons, thanks.
I don't you're, care. You're the reason that, I don't care.
You're the reason that Home Depot has Christmas yes. stuff stocked right
no,
now.
No, solely
and
for
it's
me.
Halloween.
Yeah, one of my friends is like Halloween lover, so I have vowed to not decorate until November 1st. Okay. But November 1st, you're gonna catch me at Target, Home Depot,
yes.
everything. No,
it's Black Friday. Nope. After you have gotten through the heaviness nope. of the shopping season, that's when you set up the tree.
No, it's Christmas, and then Thanksgiving gets a week. So you get like Monday to Friday, and then I'm full Thanksgiving mode.
She would love my sister Jericho.
No,
she does the same.
We would
thing.
Get along great.
Yeah, you and Jericho
like amazing.
Would have a fantastic vibe, but I can't. She has like a 12-foot skeleton in front of her house right now, like for celebrating Halloween stuff. She's got that and does like my family. We had to put up a 12-foot Christmas tree every year.
Yeah, I somehow wrote my parents into getting two.
Two 12-foot Christmas trees?
It's not 12, but it's two Christmas trees. One in like the formal living room that no one ever touches. That like, why is it a room? And then our like family room, I have two.
So expensive.
Oh,
well, we got fake ones.
No, even though they're still expensive.
They are.
On, like,
it's an investment.
Story time, very quickly. My dad, for the longest time, he hates setting up the Christmas tree because it's 12 foot. We had to buy a 15 foot ladder just to get to the top of it and put up the angel on top and the higher mm-hmm. ornaments and everything. But my mom insisted we had this tree and such. One year, it used to be one of those trees where you would have to string the lights onto it manually. And uh-huh. when that tree started fading away, he said, all right, we need a pre-lit LED Christmas tree because I'm not dealing with this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
This was when I was in junior year of high school, right after I got my license. I get a text from my mom saying, hey, we found a cheap Christmas tree you have to go get. I was in Franklin, Tennessee at the time. Glasgow, Kentucky at a Lowe's. So I had to go on a Christmas night at like two and a half hour drive. Now, fortunately, my brother and his friend were with me.
Wow.
But 2.5 hours in the middle of the night on a school night to go get this pre-lit LED Christmas tree.
Not like
dog tree.
It's not
No, I still would have done
it. I had like 2 years until I was 18. I didn't want to start any. There's hills you choose to die on.
Yeah.
I didn't want to die on Christmas
yeah.
tree.
Between me and you is I can't say no to hell.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, we had to set that tree up for years. Bring the ladder in, mm-hmm. set up the ornaments and everything. It takes hours and hours to get that.
It's about the magic.
It's always a fire.
Yeah,
it
wasn't magic after having to set it up that much, because especially it was split into two boxes for like the base and the
yeah.
hive and everything. Haul those up from the basement and everything. Yeah,
yeah, no, that's hard.
That was fun. Okay. Anyways, we're talking Christmas.
Yeah, what movie. Okay. It's a more niche one, but Christmas with the Cranks. Has been and will always be my favorite Christmas movie. It's like so niche, but it's the best.
What is it about?
So it's about this daughter who she's going away and does a mission trip, and I don't even remember, some like
yes.
Caribbean place. And her parents were like, we're not going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to save money and go on a vacation, just her and I, like the husband and I. And the mom was like, no, she's like me, a Christmas lover. And he somehow convinced her. Well, the day before Christmas, she calls the daughter and she's like, I'm coming home and I'm bringing my fiance. They're like, oh my God, what? So they go on like an adventure to like set up the Christmas party they normally have.
Why does it sound like a Hallmark movie?
Because it's like one. It's like one, but it's perfect. It's amazing. It's feel good. Yes. You would love that movie. Now you need to watch it. It's very Hallmark vibe.
Goodness, it's okay to have wrong opinions, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you realize that.
And his is the wrong one.
So
it's 2-1.
So holiday movie-wise, usually when I say this kind of stuff, I think about Christmas, because, I mean, there's a lot of good, technically it's both the Halloween and Christmas movie. The Nightmare Before Christmas is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Great one.
But my personal favorite, it was for a couple years Elf, but then my sister insisted every single year watching it, and at this point it's dead to me.
Yeah.
So my personal favorite, The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because it is almost a mirror image of the original book by Charles Dickens,
yeah.
And it is just, I think the Muppet Studios got the idea when they realized they could do Fuzzy Wig with Fozzy Wig. I think they realized that they could be off of it. But no, it's great. And normally I'm not a musical guy. Like, I don't enjoy musicals that much, but this is one of those cases where,
yeah.
That is where it worked. It actually seemed to work, and it was pretty good on that regard.
That's a great
answer. That one's mine. There's also Scrooge. is also really good. The one with Bill Murray, and where he's this corporate executive and gets the three ghosts that visit him in that regard. So it's both of them are good in that front. So it didn't get as heated as
we kept it civil.
We kept it civil at least.
We're good.
Note to everybody: don't watch Hallmark movies, so they'll stop making them.
Do watch Hallmark movies. No, that's a hill I'm prepared to die on.
Fire on.
No,
there wasn't enough debate for my company.
No,
I had to light the fire.
You guys are going
to
Do you want me to get feisty?
If he's missing next week, you know why.
Oh, yeah, I'll be missing in action. It's either that or the hockey players are going to come up to me. I'll get checked into the boards.
Probably.
I'll get checked into them.
I'm just sending you to them. They can deal with you.
I say send me to the gulag, just send me to Pelham.
Yeah.
send me on the boards. All right, everyone.
Literally.
Mia, thank you so much.
Yeah,
we really appreciate you joining us, and we certainly say of all of our guests and that we appreciate the behind-the-scenes work that you do, and it's no exaggeration. She's running around a lot, a lot, especially during the times when Savannah has to be in the penalty box and everything. She's the go-to girl and the backup of trying to make sure everything else is coordinated. And there's times where even when I have the headset on, when I hear those clicky heels, I'm like, there goes Mia. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on the show.
No, thank you guys for having me. I really love being here.
Any final thoughts before we head into this bye week?
I was gonna say it's just been an exciting season, and I think this podcast is also a great example, and the team and social media and everything, that this is truly a student-run organization of students that are ambitious, wanting to learn and figure things out. And so going into kind of taking a little bit of a break, I can speak for myself and everybody else involved. Our resumes have significantly improved and our skill sets have expanded.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
for everybody else involved as well, they're getting that this valuable experience, not just on the podcast side, but in the behind-the-scenes production side or communications, marketing, whatever you have. It's good stuff in that regard. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We'll have another great guest for you next week as we continue along in the rest of the year. For Kate Aitchison, Mia Perez, our producer Jaden Watson, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly, I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Another episode in the books of the Alabama Frozen Hour.